And he comes in this morning, and I notice that he's not too spry. This is two Wednesdays ago, okay? I notice he's not too spry. And I say, hey, you know, what's the deal? How are you feeling today? And he says, man, I'm really sick. I'm really tired. The doctor says that the leukemia is really making a run again. And there's not much more we can do. And I said, well, look, let's pray for you. And so before anybody can object, I get up and walk around behind him and pray for him. I just pray a simple prayer. It took maybe a minute and a half. I go and sit down. Afterwards, he says, man, that was neat. He doesn't know anything about this healing stuff. He said, man, that was neat. I felt this thing go through me. It was really this interesting feeling of electricity go through my body. And I said, well, that's a good sign. You know, that's very often, not always, but that's very often an indication that some kind of healing happened. And so the next Wednesday morning, this last Wednesday, he comes to the prayer meeting, and I get there late. He gets there late. I don't have a chance to talk to him or ask him what happened, but I'm interested. And we go through the study and everything, and we get to the very, very end. And the guy who's leading the study says, well, is there anything, you know, are there any prayer requests? Nothing. These are very straight, little uptight businessmen. Okay? No prayer requests. Nothing wrong with me. Don't need any help with anything. Thank you. And he says, well, okay. Is there anything that we can thank God for? Again, nothing. Nobody says anything. And then he says, well, here's something we can thank God for. Now, he says, Ken found a house out in Rancho Bernardo. Now, the background to that is that for 2 months prior to that, I had been looking all over this whole area for a five-bedroom house for my wife and my kids. You know, that didn't cost, you know, some astronomical amount. I don't know if you know this, but there's very few five-bedroom houses built in this area, and the ones that are aren't for rent, and those that are for rent don't want to rent to a family with five kids. I don't know what you do with five bedrooms unless you have kids, but anyway. We looked at 100 houses before we finally found this one, and I was feeling pretty good. I was pretty happy that we finally found this house. Well, anyway, I didn't say anything about it because I thought, you know. But this friend of mine who was leading the study said, well, hey, let's all be grateful and thank God because Ken found a house. You know, it's in Rancho Bernardo. It's going to be great for the kids. It's going to be great for the work. Yay! High five. Everybody's really excited. Everybody's really happy, right? Silence. Anything else? And then this guy who got prayed for, the guy with leukemia who got prayed for the week before, says in this quiet little voice, he says, well, you know, last Wednesday, you know, when Ken prayed for me, I just felt this electricity go through me. I really felt good. And I went to the doctor, and they took a whole battery of tests. And you know what? They can't find a trace of leukemia anywhere in my body. No. Silence. Embarrassed silence. What? That's neat. All right. Well, let's close in prayer. Now, why is that? Because we can relate to a family man finding something physical for his family to live in. We live in that world. They all know about money. They all know about houses. They all know about families. They all know about that. That's the world that they live in. That's the world that they're confident in. Yay! You know, we scored. You know, God came through for Ken. All right. But they had absolutely no idea what to do with a guy who claimed. A credible witness has no flakiness in him, you know, no flakiness about him. Just said, man, I went to the doctors after that prayer. I felt something. I went to the doctors after that prayer, and they can't find any leukemia. I really believe I'm healed, you know. Stone, well, oh, that's, oh, all right, let's close in prayer. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying we live in this kind of world. We don't know what to do when God does something. You know what? There's people been raised from the dead in this neighborhood. Have you heard about it? No. There are people miraculously healed all the time. There are people that we pray for that are miraculously healed of broken backs, of blindness, of things, of big things. How do you ever hear about those things? Do those things ever make front page news? No. Why? Well, first of all, there really is a conspiracy out there to keep the works of God from getting out. But we just don't know what to do about them. We don't believe it. You know? What do you do? And that's because of our worldview. We just don't believe. We see it, But we don't believe it. Let me read you something from C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis said this, "Seeing is not believing. This is the first thing to get clear in our thinking about miracles. Whenever we experience, whatever experience we may have, we shall not regard them as miraculous if we already hold a philosophy which excludes the supernatural." Let me tell you something, and this is in the church. I have on my bookshelf, if I had bookshelves, I have in a box somewhere now, a 1,000-page theology by Donald Guthrie, he is an excellent conservative theologian, and in his 1,000-page New Testament theology, he has no mention of miracles, healing, or deliverance, despite the fact that at least one-third to one-half of some of the Gospels are nothing else but. No comment. What do you do? What do you say about these things? Right? Despite the fact that Jesus says, if you don't believe my words, believe my works. And that despite the fact that Luke says that the gospel story is what, Acts chapter 1, is what Jesus began to do and to teach. Without Jesus doing, there isn't any gospel. You know that Jesus' teaching accounts for just a couple of pages? Take all the teaching that Jesus did. Take all of his parables, Sermon on the Mount, put them into a book. They're just a tiny, tiny little slim volume. Christianity is not built on teaching. It's built on power. Real Christianity took over the ancient world in one generation, not because of its teaching, because nobody could make any sense of its teaching. One man dies for everybody? Come on, give me a small break. It didn't make any more sense then than it does today. What happened was that people saw a community where people meant what they said what they meant, and did things in the power of the Holy Spirit. So today when the church just talks, just yaps and doesn't do anything, and none of us believe in the miraculous anyway, no wonder we're irrelevant. See? I want to correct that. I mean, I'm not worried about the real Christianity if it would ever happen. You don't have to make an apologetic for a lion. Just let him loose. You know, let him go do his thing. I got off the subject just a little bit here, but the point that I want to stress is the one that I started with, and that is your thoughts run your life. Huh. It's interesting to me that in the traditions that don't believe that God heals the sick, they don't have any healing ministries. Have you noticed that? There are no healing ministries in the traditions where they don't think that God heals the sick. Do you think that's an accident? No. God will do, if it's biblical, God will do what you expect him to do, what you anticipate that he will do, what you participate with him in doing. That's what he will do. And if you don't think that he's going to do it, he won't do it. And so we need to pray, as well as discipline ourselves, to remember that God is alive. He's eminent. He's real. He's tinkering with our lives. He's doing things in history. And this weekend, he's teaching this group of people how to heal the sick. Let me tell you some more stories. A friend of mine, 4 years ago, a friend of mine, who is a big deal. Some of you would recognize his name. He's a big deal church leader. That's all I'm going to say. A big deal church leader, consults for a lot of churches and a lot of church organizations around the Western world. Written books, the works. He was really interested in signs and wonders as it relates to church growth. He was really interested in how healing might perk up Christianity a little bit. And he said, I really don't believe in this, but, you know, I trust a lot of you guys that are into this. I'd believe if I had some medical proof. Have you ever heard that one? Okay. I'd believe if I had some medical proof. Well, let me just tell you, medical proof is hard to get because doctors aren't geared for miracles. They're remissions. They're spontaneous healings. They're something else. Just because you prayed minutes before it happened is just a coincidence. Okay? It's very difficult for them to say, it's very difficult to get them to say the M word. Besides which, this is their business and they want to take credit for whatever good happens. I don't blame them. That's okay. Anyway, but nevertheless, undaunted. Here's a guy who influences a lot of people, I think. It's worth going through the hell of dealing with doctors to get this guy some bona fide medical proof. I'm going to go do it. One lady that my wife and I prayed for came with a uterus full of cancer. And she was going to be operated on the following Tuesday. This is Saturday. She was going to be operated on the following Tuesday. In fact, I think Trish was here. Trish, are you here? You were there when we prayed for her, right? You weren't there. We prayed for her, and she broke out into a sweat, and she started shaking and vibrating. We knew something good was happening. And I said at the end of it, listen, get an X-ray or something, get an ultrasound or something before they operate and take out your uterus on Tuesday. And she said, yes, she would. Well, anyway, she got there and she asked for more tests and they said, listen, this is an advanced cancer. We have a pap smear, we have an ultrasound, we have X-rays, all of which prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that your uterus is full of cancer. And if we stop and do more X-rays, if we stop and do some other tests, we will lose the operating theater for another week, and I don't think you've got that long. We have to go now. So anyway, with that kind of pressure, she went ahead and had her uterus out. They took her uterus out and looked inside of it, and according to these are the words that I know didn't sound very medical, but this is what the doctor said. We could not find one drop of cancer, just some scarring where cancer might have been. Okay, I got them to say that, got the X-rays and everything, one medical proof under our belt. A lady who was diabetic for 25 years, an insulin-dependent diabetic for 25 years, had sky-high blood pressure, was obese, and had a blood count, I don't know if I've got the terminology right, but she said 400. Does anybody understand that? 400. Anyway, 400 is really dangerously high. That's what it would rise to normally, depending on when she ate. That's what it would rise to normally unless it was controlled by insulin. All right? Normal was somewhere between 115 and 125 for her. Okay? I prayed for her Friday night. This was at a camp. I was asked to come and do a healing conference at a church camp. I prayed for her Friday night. Her doctor happened to be there. Okay? Her doctor happened to be there. And he just, had his black bag with him. So the next morning, and she said, I think I'm healed. And I said, well, that's great. The next morning, the doctor who was right there took a blood test down to normal, 125. By the end of the week, she hadn't taken any insulin. He took her right off of it, but kept monitoring her. She didn't take any insulin for that week. Got back to her specialist. Got blood pressure. It was down to normal. Hopped on the scale. She'd lost 20 pounds, and within a month, she was normal. 2 years later, she's never gone back on insulin. And she's in perfect health, okay? Number two, this doctor was willing to cooperate. He's a Christian, so he's willing to cooperate. Okay, number two, I've got two. Another one was epilepsy. A girl who had epilepsy for years, and anyway, it's a very, very long, interesting story. But anyway, we pray for her, and in this case, cast a demon out of her. And that was causing the epilepsy. And she goes and gets an EEG, and they think that there's something wrong with the machinery, so they send her back. She comes back, and it's still clear. There's no brain disturbance. They cut her medication in half. No grand mal seizure that month. They drop her medication altogether. She's cured. Okay? She's cured. Okay? There's the third one. I go back to my friend after sweating out this stuff. Go back to my friend. I said, okay, man, here it is. Are you ready for it? Told him I had it over the phone. I said, here it is. Here are the stories. You ready for it? He says, well, those sort of things really don't prove anything anyway. Well, maybe I shouldn't have, but at that point I just gave up. And just decided I'm not going to waste time and energy trying to prove something to people who simply have decided ahead of time that it's not that it can't be proven. Now let me just say that this same guy has now come all the way around and he's teaching it, and he's asked me to go to some of the teaching events that he's done to pray for the sick. So he's come all the way around, but it took him a while to do it. But one thing that didn't affect him at all was medical proof. So having said that, VMI, Vineyard Ministries International, is now collecting medically documented healings. If you've got one, or if you get one because of this weekend, would you please get it to me? I'm going to send it to them. We're going to, whether it does any good or not, we're going to log a whole bunch of medically documented healings. So if you have one, know about one, you can get me the, you know, you can get me the documentation. I'd appreciate it. It'll end up in a document. Okay. The bottom line is this. For the followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is Lord. That means he's 24-hour-a-day boss, and we do what he says. There can be no doubt from the text of the New Testament that Jesus commands us to heal the sick. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore I send you out. Therefore go out, and I will be with you always. Make disciples, teaching them everything that I commanded you. Everything. Teach them everything that I taught you. What did he teach them? Taught them how to heal the sick. He sent them out to heal the sick. Luke 9, Luke 10. He sent them out to heal the sick, they healed the sick. Among the things that we're supposed to teach and to do is to heal the sick. John 20, 21, 22. Jesus breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit, and he said, just as I have been sent, so send I you. How was Jesus sent? He was sent in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was sent obeying the Father. He was sent healing the sick. We're supposed to go healing the sick. Dave Ruhlman gave me this thing from a Christian therapy program, little piece of medical documentation. This is a research hospital in San Francisco. In fact, it's San Francisco General Hospital, and a cardiologist named Randy Bird there put 400 patients, cut 400 patients in half, 200 in each control group, and one group they prayed for, and one group they didn't pray for. Okay, the doctors didn't know who was being prayed for. The nurses didn't know who was being prayed for. This researcher simply took the first names and gave them to prayer groups around the city. Okay, so they just had the name and the condition, and they prayed. They'd never seen the people before. The doctors didn't know which of the groups were being prayed for and which were not. Cardiologist Randy Bird assigned 192 patients to the prayed-for group and 201 patients to the non-prayed-for group. All the patients were in the coronary intensive care unit. Patients, doctors, nurses did not know which groups were being prayed for. Prayer group members were scattered around the nation, given only first names, diagnosis, and the prognosis of patients. The researchers said that the results were dramatic. The prayed-for group had significantly fewer complaints than the unprayed-for group, and fewer members of the former group died. The latter group was five times more likely to develop infections, requiring antibiotics. Three times more likely to develop lung congestion, leading to heart failure. These findings were published in the proceedings of the American Heart Association. So there are people out there in a our worldview kind of way, actually documenting the fact that when we pray, people get better. We don't need that. We shouldn't need that. We should be ready to obey anyway. But there's lots of people out there demonstrating that there really does seem to be a cause and effect in prayer and people getting well. So let's see if that happens now. I think that it will, but we'll, as I said, can't guarantee. But let me just pray and see if I can discern how we ought to proceed. We're going to now pray for some sick people, and I think tonight we ought to. Yeah, you can stick around. It's only 10 o'clock. Let's just take our time, and if you absolutely have to leave, then leave quietly. But we're just going to pray for people and ask them if they're getting better or not. And just, you know, God isn't, you know, we don't do God any favors by pretending something's happening when it isn't. My theory is that if God is healing the sick, we ought to tell everybody. If he isn't healing the sick, we ought to tell everybody. Whatever is true, see, truth is the friend of the Christian. You know, and pretending it isn't happening when it is not God. And it's also true that pretending something is happening when it isn't, hyping it, is not God either. And if he's not healing, then let's go out and have some dinner. You know, let's just shut this down. But I really think that he's going to heal. I have to tell you something else. Also, maybe if we become real good friends later on, I'll tell you how I know this. But I also know that there are, I just have to tell you this, there are evil spirits that are seeking to dampen this. So if you'll just indulge me, I have to deal with that. Okay? So let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, I pray now that you come and deliver us from spirits that would seek to control. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke religious spirits. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke spirits of witchcraft that have been sent against the work of God, and I command you to depart. Father, we don't want to focus in on evil. We want to get to hearing and experiencing your love for us. So I ask you now just to rebuke everything that would thwart and hinder people from receiving your healing, and spirits of doubt and unbelief, in Jesus' name. Does anybody here with the gift of knowledge know for sure what the other ones are? Yes. Passivity. Yeah. Lord Jesus, I pray now that you rebuke passivity. Let us be excited and eager and anxious and open. This is a tremendous privilege. This is a tremendous privilege to have you get with us, your bride, and touch us and teach us and repair us. So we turn our attention to you now. We ask you to heal our passivity and any doubt and unbelief. And I pray again that you would rebuke and send from this place anything that is contrary to your will, anything that is contrary to your love and to your light, anything that is contrary to healing. I pray that you bathe us now with your love. Bathe us with your peace. We just want to be alone with you while you deal with us. Amen. Okay, there are a number of people here who have physical pain, fairly significant physical pain. And I only want about, there's about 20 of you, but I only want about 5 of the worst cases. Actually 10, we'll have 10. And I'm just doing this to limit it. I'm just doing this to limit it. Right now, you have physical pain in your upper spine to your neck. A couple of you have pain running down the side of your neck out towards your arm. Some of you even have pain running down into your arm. It's the upper spine and neck. Pain in your shoulders, pain in your neck. Some of you pain right up here at the top of your top of the skull. Can I have you come forward here? You have it right now. You have the pain right at this minute. Okay, would you turn around? Yeah, come and turn around. Okay. All right, would you move in towards the center, please? Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray for these folks, and then I'm going to ask them how they're feeling. Can we have some prayers up here? Some people that are normally come and pray. Would you come up? Yeah, come on, Mike. Okay, I'm going to pray for them, and then I want you to put your hand on their neck and pray for them as well. I just want to pray for them for a minute. And then I'm going to ask each one of them in turn, I'm going to ask each one of them how they're feeling. And we'll just depend on them on telling us the truth. Okay, I'm just going to go down the road, and we're going to find out if there's been some improvement. Okay, and you can watch it. Holy Spirit of God, I pray now. Put your hands there, yeah, that's right. Holy Spirit, I pray now that you pour out healing virtue into the necks. And I speak to that connection up there at the atlas and the axis and command in Jesus' name for that to align. And I speak to the tight muscles in the neck. In Jesus' name, I speak to the tight muscles in the neck and command you to receive the healing power. And I speak to the muscles that run down the spine and speak to you and say, now open up, become long and soft and warm and receive the healing warmth. Receive the healing warmth of the power of God. And now in Jesus' name, I speak right up on his neck, right up on the top. Yeah. I speak to the stress and to the anxiety that has produced a lot of this, and I break the power of stress over these bodies in Jesus' name. And again, I speak healing and warmth into these muscles. I speak healing and warmth into these muscles. The tightness and pain in the shoulders. That shooting pain that comes up and down the right trapezius muscle. I speak healing to you in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name I speak to afflicting spirits that have gotten on through bitterness and through anger. I break the power of afflicting spirits that have caused physical pain. Now in Jesus' name, I command you to lift off. Okay, we're just going to let them pray for a minute, and then I'm going to interview them. I'm going to ask them some questions. You, Holy Spirit, to intensify the healing ministry of Jesus on these people. Intensify the healing ministry of Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you make stronger the grip of the Lord Jesus Christ on these necks and on these spines. Bring your healing virtue to bear. Make the ministry of Jesus evident in the bodies of these men and women in Jesus' name. Carefully, and you don't, it's good that you're praying too, but we pray with our eyes open in the ministry of healing. And part of that is to see what the Father is doing. You can see the power of God being manifest in mild tremors on some people. Nobody knows why it works that way. It just does with some people. It doesn't with others. It does. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's just when the power of God comes upon people, their physical systems sometimes react. Like you react to heat, you sweat, you react to cold, you shiver. Some people shake a little bit when the power of God comes on them. Over here we have a healing that the physical pain was related to emotional pain. And we'll get to that tomorrow. But that's a very common scenario. A lot of this is stress-induced pain. And so healing the emotional pain often releases physical healing too. So that's going on. Okay. This is going pretty well. There's a lot of good things happening, and it would be better for them if we just let it go. But this is one of those... Now, normally you don't pray for people in front of an audience. We're just doing this to learn, just so that you can see what's going on, and to demystify it too, right? This is easy. There's nothing to this, right? It's a mystery how people get healed, but praying for them is easy. So we do this. It's you have better results if you have a team praying and if you're off in a room someplace where they're quiet and they're seated, but they're up here standing in front of them so that you can watch them so that you can learn. Okay? Now, it would be better to just let them be prayed for because many of them are being healed. But I'm going to interrupt it temporarily to ask them some questions. That's for the that's for the sake of the learning. But they'd be healed a little bit better if we just let them go, right? You understand that? But I'm going to interrupt them and ask them some questions to find out, do a little reality check, is something happening or not? And they're the experts. Remember I said I wanted people who had significant pain right now. And so that we'll be able to tell if it's gone completely or a little by simply asking them. Now, I'll get to this later, but the more you pray, when something starts happening when you're praying, you just keep praying. Because if people are healed with a little prayer, they'll be more healed with more prayer. Healing, in our experience, only rarely is instantaneously. It usually takes a while of laying your hands on and praying and keeping on praying. Even Jesus did that. Most of Jesus' healings were instantaneous, but some of them were progressive. Same with the early church. Most of ours are progressive. Okay? Now what happens is several people in a group this size, a couple will be completely healed. A middle group will be substantially helped, and our advice to them is to keep having people pray for you. And then a smaller group, nothing will have happened. Now, I can't tell, but maybe there's somebody up here that nothing is happening for them. Okay? That would be normal. Unfortunately, that would be normal. Now, okay. Remember, some people will be, if this is normal, will be substantially or completely free of pain. Others, something has started, and others, nothing is happening. Okay? Let me ask you.
Noel.
What if anything, first of all, describe the pain that you came up with and then give us a progress report.
Can I start last Sunday when Sean prayed for me?
Yeah.
I came up and I couldn't pass up that somebody would pray for someone that was gifted in letting the Lord use them. And so I came up and I had a lot of anger and I had all kinds of stuff. And so he was praying for me and my back started working. And I have a curvature of a spine. I've just had x-rays done and they say it'll take a year and a half just to get therapy just to get you back on the line, and I couldn't stand up. My neck was forward, and he prayed for me, and I just started moving around. He says, "What's going on?" I said, "I don't know. My back is doing something." So this week, I can raise my head back. My right shoulder has come up. My hip hasn't hurt. And like you said, the little guy in the breakfast, luncheon, or prayer breakfast, you didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do. But you said that people are afraid of God, afraid of healing, as afraid of God. And I've been a Christian since I was 13. I've been to Bible school, and I was afraid. And this whole week, I didn't have anything physical. I just, something is going on, and I know it. I can stand up, and I can walk. No pain, any direction, there's no pain, except once or twice. But if I hold myself wrong, there'll be pain. But to think that he would come in and heal that real deep part,
yeah,
that's stunning. And yeah, it's like saying, I don't care about anything else in the world. You can slay me tomorrow, but to know that you touched me, that you cared. So I was just a little tense tonight. And so she was praying for this pain that was going down.
Yeah.
I was just sitting, I guess, wrong too long.
Yeah.
So that's feeling better, but I don't know what to do.
Okay.
First time I've really told everybody.
Okay. So she prayed for you and something happened.
Yeah.
All right. Donald.
When you first started praying, the pain, which was right at this point here, you're right there, that pain was definitely there, and it was. I was holding my head down before you even started talking about it. My seat there, it was hurting me, and that pain kind of felt like a sharp point peeking right up out of the top of my head.
That's an inflicting spirit.
It was a strange, very strange feeling. It just felt like an arrow going out, and then. And that was almost immediately, and then the longer I stood here, it felt like the tightness was coming back in here. And then when this gentleman asked me, how I was feeling, I said I was going to report that, that it had gone, but it was coming back. And then as I, started moving around like this, I said, "Gee, there's nothing there now. Just a kind of a, I'd like to keep it moving to keep it from stiffening up." But feels 50%.
Okay, that's two of two.
The beginning of this month, I had a fall, and I went to a chiropractor, and Jan prayed for me. She and Bruce, and I asked for prayer. I hadn't been to the chiropractor yet, and I asked for prayer for my back. I was having pain in a tooth. Well, the pain in the tooth left, And the back started getting better, and the chiropractor, who's a Christian, has said I've been doing amazingly well. But I've had a real stressful week. I've been with another friend who fell and has been in the hospital, and there was just a lot of stress in that situation. And I just have had this tightness of just my muscles, of just the whiplash, and the back injury is doing pretty good, but the tightness was just causing a lot of pain, and just, she just kept praying, and there was just a peace and a loosening up of everything. If you want a percentage, I'd say like 75% of it.
So okay.
The pain is not there now.
Okay, the pain is what we were praying for, and the pain is gone. There's still some tenseness you feel, maybe? But the pain of it is gone, so that's what we were praying for. Well, if she prays for the tenseness. Okay, folks, what can I say?
Neck about 10, 11 years ago, sports injury, the tendons and the ligaments in the left side. I feel kind of silly in front of a bunch of people kind of waving my head around, but it feels good right now. I guess the test is going to be in just, make sure that it's...
Did you have pain when you came up?
Major, yeah, some pretty serious pain.
And how is it now?
I don't feel any now, so it feels good, yeah.
You're sure?
No, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's like you feel silly kind of bobbing your head around here, but...
Well, we prayed for pain. He had, his words were major pain.
You could ask my wife.
Major pain, and there's none now. Now, is this coincidence or what? Okay. Okay. That's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Five. About a month ago, I took a real serious fall on my back and shoulder, and for 2 weeks I was in a sling and couldn't move this shoulder out at all. And for the last week and a half, it's been becoming much more mobile, but there's still been pain. I couldn't lift or turn anything. And today, in closing the car door, I yanked the muscle, and it just, the pain started shooting back in ways that it hadn't been. And Ann and Monique can tell you, I haven't been able to raise this, right, for a month. You know, there's just the root of it, you know, you can just feel it. It's just tingling there. But, I mean, I came in tonight, and I told my wife before I came that, you know, this is more severe than what we had thought, because it's been a month, and we thought it would be a lot less than what it is now, but the pain was coming back more severe. And, again, so, praise God.
Six for six.
Now, I don't want to put any pressure on anybody else. You don't have to get well to be a part of this. I really don't. I mean, let's be optimistic and let's have a positive construct if we can. But I never manipulate people into saying that they're better if they're not. And these people have all spoken. I said, did you have pain? Yeah, major pain. Is it gone? Yeah, it's gone. Well, I don't know if it'll last or not, but it's gone for now. So most of these people I don't know.
I've been on disability for 2 years. I hurt my back. I have two bulged discs in my neck, and the complete lumbar is bulged. My neck goes out about 6-7 times a day to where I can't get it in. My husband has to pick me up, and my whole back just all the way down. But about 3 months ago, the doctor wanted me to go see the cardiologist because I've got a severe heart murmur in the pulmonary part of my heart. And the whole left side of my chest just goes crazy at night. And I really didn't want to go because I do believe that Jesus does heal. And the pain's gone from my chest. My back's a little bit cracky, but the burn's gone out of my neck.
So some improvement.
Yes.
You wouldn't call this healing, but there's some improvement.
There's some improvement. My heart is just like, it's okay. You know, all the pain in here is gone, but
there's some major emotional and spiritual things going on too. You need to get people praying for you this week. You're gonna get a lot more help than just that.
Yeah. As soon as you started speaking about it, it felt like, I don't know if you guys have ever had Ben Gay before, but it felt kind of cool all along my neck. And the pain is pretty much 75% gone, but I can still feel that it's really still tense right in my shoulder area and neck area.
So 75% improvement. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I had a problem 8 years ago. I had surgery for the problem in my neck. I had nerve damage in my neck, and I have these bags of water growing in my spinal cord. And it caused quite a bit of nerve damage, and I had surgery on it, as I said, 8 years ago. And the problem started reoccurring several years ago, and I was praying about this very issue this week. And you described the pain to a T when you started describing it. And the pain has diminished more than half this evening. It's not anywhere near as bad as it was when I came in the room. It's not completely gone, but it's a lot better now than it was before.
Okay, now there is the power of God to heal is here. Normally we'd try to meter out these healings, you know, so we have a few more tomorrow and a few more the next day. But let's not take any chances. Let's just go for it. There are a number of people here with lower back pain, and you've got pain going down your buttock, down your spine. You stand up where you are. Lower back pain. Anybody over 6 feet tall probably has it. Okay. Stand up. Okay, you guys keep praying for these people, because if you can receive some help through prayer, and everybody received either total or substantial help, if you can receive some help, you can receive more. Okay. Who else has heart murmurs here? Who else has heart murmurs here? Would you stand up? Okay. Everybody's going to get prayed for, and everybody's going to pray that wants to before we end tomorrow afternoon. There are people here, I don't know what it is, not pleurisy, but you've got... I don't think it's asthma, but it's some other kind of problem with the chest. There's pain in your chest right now, but it's in your lungs. Would you stand up? Okay. Other people with heart problems, angina pain, would you stand up? Tightness in the chest.
you've thought from time to time this might be a heart condition. A couple of older men. Is that you too? Okay. Anything else? An injury, maybe an athletic injury, skiing injury, right knee. Is that somebody? Okay. We'll explain this word of knowledge thing tomorrow for those of you who don't know. But those of you who are around, lay hands on the people who stood up and pray for them. Let me just invite healing virtue to come on them. Now, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would descend in healing power and equip the body of Christ to heal the sick. Equip the body of Christ to heal the sick. Is there somebody right up in here with some problem with your eye? Pain? Is there somebody here who has a problem with your eye? You've got a pain behind one of your eyes. Are you being prayed for something else? All right, get somebody to pray for you. Keep your hand up. There's somebody. Okay, that's right, you for sure. Okay, go back and pray for him. Pain behind the eye. Okay? Yeah, right now. Okay, pray for those. Okay, what you want to do is just find out where it hurts, and if it's appropriate, lay your hand on it and pray. Okay? If it's hemorrhoids, you're going to have to do something else. No, I don't think so. Keep your eyes open and watch what's going on. You'll see the power of God come on them. Some of them anyway. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would come in power, come in healing power. Break the power of sickness, break the power of passivity, break the power of doubt and unbelief. Get through to their physical beings. Repair and restore physical damage. In Jesus' name I pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you root out the emotional pain behind it and the spiritual pain behind it. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're just going to have them pray for a while. Now, you may leave if you wish, or you may go and watch people being prayed for. But this will be the last instruction that I'll have, and we'll pick up the pieces tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to start on time, so please be here. We're going to have another round of teaching, a worship, teaching, and ministry, and then we're going to take a break for lunch, and then we're going to have another round of teaching and ministry. So God bless you. Get a good night's sleep and come back.